I was talking to God. I was like, okay, God, usually during the week, you give me a message and you show me what I'm going to be talking about. And then sometime on Sunday, you say, okay, no, we're not going to use that verse and you switch it, but at least you give me something. And I'm like, here it is Sunday morning and you haven't given me, there's a lot of things going on, but you haven't given me anything. And so Nelly and I have our prayer, every morning, whether I'm here or whether I'm in Florida. We have our prayer, and this morning we prayed, and the word God gave me was titled, Wealth Is Not Money. I was like, ooh, okay. And what scriptures you want me to have? He said, just this one. And I was like, oh. But right away, it starts formulating in my mind. So title is Wealth Is Not Money. And as he began to speak to me, I automatically understood the depth of that. Wealth is not what you have. I haven't had one of my popes. It's in your heart, it's who you are, and then it manifests on the outside. And this, I thought it was so fitting to last message, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let him add underneath you the foundation. You know, don't keep seeking how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to get this thing for me. But God, what is it that you called me to? And in me seeking that, the manifestation of the things necessary becomes his responsibility. The thing that I seek, listen close, the thing that I seek or the thing that I make priority becomes my responsibility and stays my responsibility. As I seek to do God's work, all the things that are required for me to do his work becomes his responsibility. That makes sense? So the food you're going to eat, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear, all this kind of stuff. Here he says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like the grass of the field. Look at the birds. They don't go through all of that. I take care of them. Are you not much better? So I begin to understand that principle, and I'm growing, and I begin to say, okay, well then, what is the wealth we seeking, right? Because you keep explaining to me that it's not monetary, and I've known that. But then, when my mind goes to wealth, my mind immediately thinks of provision, resource, but all stuff still tying back to things that are tied to financial. In other words, if I say, well, I know wealth is not money, it's resource, it's relationship, it's connection. Yeah, for what purpose? To get some cash, to get me to the place that I'm financially doing better than I'm doing today. I say, so God, you're telling me it's not money, but realistically, all the things you're telling me are priorities, seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things to be asking. So I'm seeking the kingdom, but it's some things that need to be added. And these things seem to go back to finance. They seem to go back to money. Even favor, if people show me favor, they bless me with things that I normally would have had to buy with money, you know? So it's I'm realizing that there's a paradox because I'm saying I know it's not about money, wealth is not about money. But at the end of the day, living is, and you providing my needs, is you somehow, whether they decide to not charge me rent, it's still a money thing going on there. I just don't have to now pay that money, but money's somehow still involved in this process. So how is wealth not money? And I'm going to do my best by the scripture to walk you through it as I'm walking myself through it. Because he just threw this at me and began taking me through the process. And so I may have a few steps ahead of you, but we're going to sort this one out together. Because at the end of the day, we need financial wealth to live. So we believe. So we believe. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you don't mind. And I'm starting to pull together the real wealth equation based on this verse. Because I understand that financial wealth may play a part or may be the thing that we use to answer or to communicate in this three-dimensional realm. But I'm realizing even more that it doesn't end on the finances, it ends on the resource. Should I explain that a little bit? Our bodies are made up, from what I understand, of some between 75-80% water, something like that. Very high percentage water. We need water to live. We can go without food for weeks. Can't go without water. So water is crucial. So the resource of water. Because my mind said, well, if our body is 85% water, even if it's 75, whatever that percentage is, then shouldn't that be the last thing we need if that's what we're predominantly made of? No. Because that solution, that liquid, that H2O, without it, the other processes don't work, meaning the food that you have to digest, the blood that has to go through your veins and everything else is tied to that resource. And that resource is the water. So it's foundational to everything else flowing and working correctly. We're together so far? Money may be the financial thing that we use in this earth and the currency we use that we need to function. But it's not tied to the source, which is the spirit of God and the connection and the relationship with the provider of the resource, which would could be financial, however you want to deal with it. Is that making sense? So if I'm pursuing food over water, but I need water in order for the food to work correctly in my body, then if I'm pursuing finance and I'm pursuing physical wealth, but I'm not attached to the resource that makes that flow and operate correctly, then I can still wind up starving to death or dying with plenty of food, but not having the thing that makes that thing flow right. So I'll give an example. Nelly was talking about watching a movie, watching TV thing. I was watching Celine Dion documentary. And when it got to a certain point of the documentary, Nelly and I just started holding hands and praying and kind of weeping, watching what she was going through, the pain her body was going through, stiff people syndrome, where her whole body just literally, they said one in a million people in America have it, or in the world, where your whole body just literally just goes into a spasm. It just locks up your whole body from head to toe, vocal cords, everything just seizes up on her. And so the slightest bit of excitement or whatever in her mind or, you know, things she goes through can make her body react. So in this situation, she had gone to a recording studio. She was trying to record and her voice wouldn't do what it used to do, that beautiful voice she used to have. But they're telling her, you're doing great, you're doing great. And she pushes through the session. She finally gets it done. And then literally, like on camera, she goes through this major seizure. And the pain she's going through and the way she's wailing in pain. And Nelly and I just immediately started crying, you know, shedding tears and holding hands and praying. And I said, $800 million of net worth. You can't do nothing about that, can you? And started looking throughout the documentary. And man, she's fierce. She's forced. She doesn't give up. Right after she came out the seizure, she started singing again with all of her heart. Because they said to her, we think maybe the session is what caused it. And she was like, the thing that I love is what's going to do this to me. And it was almost like, then fine, and let it kill me. I am not. And she just literally got up and just started trying with all her heart to sing with all the energy she had. And I said, as I listened to her strength, admired her strength, admired her fortitude, admired her fight. Nelly and I both acknowledged something as she talked about her fight. You're listening? It became clear to us from what we were seeing in the documentary. I don't know if what goes on offside, that the fight was hers. She didn't talk about her God. She didn't talk about her faith. She didn't talk about, I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. I can get through. She said, I'm good on that stage. If I can't run out, I'll walk out. If I can't walk out, I'll crawl out. Like, I heard that and honor, respect for that. I was like, God, give me more of that with you as a source. You're the water. You, all of that means nothing if I can't attach it to the source in which I draw that from, that strength. Again, I don't know her faith. I can't speak for her faith. I just know it was never mentioned in the documentary. I never heard her say, God will pull me through, Jesus will pull me through in the name of the Lord. I never heard her, so I don't know where her faith is. I just know, just like Steve Jobs, here you are in this place where you got everything that so-called wealth affords, but not tied to the source, to the water, to the living water, right? Jesus said to the woman at the well, he who drinks of me won't thirst again. That hope in my tenaciousness or my drive or my fire.
The source of our power, the source of our nourishment, the source of our quote unquote wealth is more important than the actual physical manifestation of wealth. Are you with me? So for me to constantly reflect back to not what I can do and what I can accomplish, but what gives me the ability and why I can't accomplish it is more important. You bear witness with me now? You understand what I'm saying? Did I explain it good enough that I brought it home for you? Now, go with me. I already told you where to go. Deuteronomy 8. And we're going to start at verse 11. And this is, you know, this is so powerful as I was looking at it, because I said, wow, this says so much in so many ways. But here we are. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his judgments, his precepts and statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built your good houses, come on. My God. And lived in them. And when your herbs and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have increases, then your heart will be lifted up with conceit. Listen, saints. My God. Then your hearts will be lifted up by self-conceit and arrogance, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. One of the things that, I'm going to keep going, but one of the things that Nelly and I would talk about from the beginning, and it comes up still from time to time in our conversation. You prayed and you waited for 20 something years believing for your husband, the man of your dreams, the person that you believe God would have for you. That happened to be me, by the way, just so you know, right? I say that humorously, but I say that humbly, because I wouldn't have put myself in the running for that position. But I'm always very mindful to remind her, and we talk about, please don't put me in God's place. please now don't think, okay, well, now that I have you, I'm good. And, you know, I call God when I need him. Please don't. I don't want that dangerous place where God has to bring me down because you messing around and put me in his place. So please keep in mind, I'm a blessing, but I'm not the blesser. The blesser is God. Please don't get so caught up in believing for a husband, a wife, money, or anything else that that thing takes up so much bandwidth in your life that you're no longer flowing in the water of God, that you're now dehydrated spiritually because you're not drinking from the well that got you to that place. And this is what, oh my God, like, this is an overwhelming message for me because I'm aware every day, God, I don't care how much wealth you bring to me, let me never forget that that's not wealth. Wealth is my relationship and connection with you. And anything that comes from that is just, and all these things will be added, but is not the source or the thing that I rest myself on, is not the foundation of who I am and who I'm becoming. Who I am and who I'm becoming is my connection with the living water. And Jesus said, he who drinks this water will not thirst again. I know that it's easy to get caught up in the pursuit that you lose connection with the source that provides the pursuit in the first place. This is a very humbling message, but I know it's a good one, so please eat well. Amen. So, back to 14. Then your heart will be lifted up with self-conceit and arrogance, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. It was he who brought water out from the flinty rock and who fed you with manna in the wilderness. Now, I want to be very pointed on this whole verse right here because this verse is a very strong verse. Because people can say, yep, see, he brought you to the fiery wilderness with serpents and scorpions. See, because that's what God brings you through. And that's what God got to make you go through. And all of this stuff that's religious bullcrap, but it's not scriptural. And there was a reason that scorpions and serpents and dry rock and land and all this happened for these people. Because before they even got there, hello, they had golden calves. And turning their back on God again and again and worshiping idols and all kind of other bull crap. So this process was to get them to trusting God and not trusting other things. Other words, your heart gets hardened by life and by things and by circumstances. And God will have to let you walk through things to get your trust back in the right place. To give you the opportunity to test your stand and your belief. When life throws pressures at us, our tendency is self-preservation. And it will keep naming God as a side thought, but self-preservation becomes the prevailing thought. Now, you may not want to accept it, but it is the truth. How do I get through this moment? How do I get out of this situation, or how do I learn to live in this situation? Whatever the case may be, I begin to seek God. We begin to seek God for relief. Not for God, for relief. Not our service to him, his service to us for relief. If you think I'm wrong, type it in the comments. Here's my point. God saying, I had to walk you through this wilderness, terrible wilderness, because of the state of your spirit. This was your educational process. This was your training process. This is not me just doing something to see what you're going to do. This is me doing something that we say, God will test you to see what you're going to do. Nope. Those things that do happen are to prepare you for what he's bringing you to, not to see what you're going to do. That statement is stupid because God is omniscient. He knows what you were going to do. He knew what you were going to do before you were in your mother's womb. It's preparation. It's training. It's breaking old habits out to create new habits. When I went through the situation where I was separated and had to separate from my family for this season of time, I heard the most harsh, mean, horrendous things said about me and to me. And I know how it made me feel. And God said to me over and over, are you listening? So when are you going to stop feeling that? God, this is, I'm being called a narcissist and a selfish MF. I mean, I'm being called some real bad stuff. Okay. And it hurts. Does it hurt more than what I say about you? The good I say about you doesn't outweigh the negative that they're saying? Okay. When are you going to stop being affected and giving something else dominance over you, over the good that I continue to say about? Do you know who God says you are? Do you know? Give me a thumbs up, a head nod or something. Do you know who God says you are? Then when do we stop being so caught up in what they are saying? So I said, well, God, it hurts. He said, let me ask you all of that. I asked you, when do you stop being affected by it? And I said, unless you help me, I don't. And now I literally can laugh when it said, I'm like, well, okay. Let me go check the bank account. Oh, nothing changed. So there we have it. We keep, you know, it's like I keep looking to my provider and he keeps providing. I keep winning. So it doesn't make a difference what's said and what's done. And it doesn't make a difference. Watch this. How it makes my emotions feel. I've learned to anchor myself to the truth of the living water, and the emotions take a back seat real quick when you decide to not forget who bought you out. Now, you may look at what I just said and say, well, that doesn't seem to go together. It goes together perfectly. He said, when you get wealth, when you get success, when you get the things that you want, you can forget where it came from. Well, the peace and the joy and the deliverance that you receive when you accepted Christ under the pressure of people coming at you or saying things, you can forget that you've been delivered. You can forget that you healed. You can forget that eternal life is more important than what people got to say about you in this life. You can forget. Don't get so comfortable in your present deliverance is what that says. Because maybe you're reading when you get houses and land and gold and silver and you sitting there going, well, I ain't got none of that yet. So I guess that don't apply to me. Yeah, it applies to you where you are. You're not homeless. You're not in the street. You got a roof over your head. I see everybody got internet. So I guess you're doing way better than some people. And so he said, even there, don't forget. Don't forget me. I'm the one who brought you out. I'm the one that kept you from being in poverty, from being in slavery, from sleeping in the street, from having a life that a lot of people don't have. Don't forget me as your provider. Don't forget that I'm the one. I'm the living water. I'm the one that keeps you, even where you are. Can somebody say amen to that? That's the word God's been saying to me. Wealth, it's not money, son. He said it's the attachment to the flow. It's the attachment, say it with me, it's the attachment to God's flow. That's wealth. That's wealth. Let's continue. 16, he fed you manna in the wilderness, a substance which your fathers had not known, so that he may humble you by dependence on him, and that he might test you to do good. That's what a test is. Training you to do good and to do right in strenuous or whatever seems to be pressurous situations in life. You're being trained to do and decide righteously. To do good things for you at the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you should remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore solemnly promised to your fathers as it is to this day. He's saying nothing has changed from then to now. So let's bring this home. The source of my wealth is where it streams from. And every level, I want you to listen to me, every level introduces a place of rest and a place of comfort. Make note of that. Every level God brings you to introduces a state of rest and a state of comfort. You bear witness with that? As it should. Every level that God brings you to introduces a state of rest and a state of comfort. The danger is we say, well, this is good. Let's build three tabernacles and we're going to stay right here. And God's like, no. Rest, recuperate, enjoy the moment. But now we got to go to the next level. Those of you believing for wealth, once you get that wealth, now you have to pray for the wisdom to maintain it, or you will lose it. So many married couples, I've dealt with it in my lifetime. Okay, you prayed for the mate. Now you got them. And now the maintenance begins. And now the maintenance begins. But they're so perfect for me. Well, let's talk again in 5 years, because they will change. And you will change. And the thing that made you so happy today will irk your nerve probably 5 years from now. You don't think it's cute anymore. And here we go. You understand? Ruth got the laugh of, because she knows what I'm talking about, right? That thing I just thought was so cute. Like, okay, please stop talking to me in the baby voice. It's irritating now. I don't like it. I got babies. I don't like that. I thought it was cute once upon a time. I don't like that anymore. I'm not talking about anybody here. I've had people say that to me. He used to talk to me like that. He used to think it was so cute. And then after we had kids, I was like, okay, like, can you knock that S off? Like, I don't like it. But you once loved, well, I hate it now. You change. They change. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about King of Queens, that the only thing Carrie knew how to make was the lemon chicken. And years into the marriage, she's giving her, used to love my lemon chicken. He's like, so it changes. We change. What makes us happy changes. But our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's consistent. He don't flip off. the same love and praise that he asked for you for in the beginning, he'll take that. That same honor, that same Lord, I wish you, that same hallelujah that you've been using since you got saved, he'll take that. You know, I'm so tired of hallelujah. Can you come up with something else, please? I'm just come up with a different phrase. I'm just tired of that. The highest praise to God is what I give to him. And what I give to him is the fullness of my heart. And what he gives to me is the well of life. He gives me the opportunity. And that is the definition of true wealth. And if you get to the place that you begin to park yourself in the actual finances or the levels where he's blessed you, and now you're happy and comfortable. Well, I'm not even at a level I'm happy and comfortable. But there's probably a reason for that, because when you were in it, you got comfortable in it and you didn't worship him in it so he can move you to the next level. And so now the level that you're in is beginning to deteriorate under you, or you become tired and worn in it and you're frustrated. But the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. When God moved, you thought you knew it. You thought you knew better than everybody else. You thought you were spiritual authority, whatever the case may be. You got comfortable in your place. You got comfortable in your spirituality, and you begin to forget how you got there. Even though you still mention his name, it's kind of a side thought. I'm always saying to God, God, make me uncomfortable when I need to be uncomfortable, because I don't ever want to settle in a place where I forget that you gave me the power to get wealth, and let's bring it home. That you may establish your covenant with me, not that you may give me what I want to make me happy and give me whatever I like, because that's what I like. It says, you give me the power to get wealth to establish your covenant. Where are we going back to? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness with him, and then all of these things will be added. The things that he gives me are not for me to park. They're for me to continue to pursue his kingdom. What's the kingdom? Well, I talk to people and I preach to people every day. Is that what God calling you to? Or is that what makes you feel like a good Christian? I know in my life I got comfortable. I know in my life I parked. I know in my life I rested. But I rested because, not because I was satisfied, because I gave up. Doesn't matter. Gave up or parked the car too long. Don't matter. It don't matter. I must never forget he gave me the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant in the earth. And my role in that, and your role in that, is to be determined by you. But I never want to get to the place that I begin to think that God's wealth is how much money is in my pocket. I don't ever want to get to the place that I think that God's wealth is what I have materially. The wealth of God is described in these terms, and these terms only, that I am in constant flow and in constant contact with his resource. And if I'm in constant flow and constant contact with his water, I'm never lacking. I'm never missing anything. There's not a thing that I desire. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. That means I must be attached constantly to his riches and glory. I must be at one mind constantly with his riches and glory. And I know this world will do a million things to distract you, but you take that time, sit yourself down. And like I said to you last week, and say to your flesh, shut up, shut up. I need to hear God right now. I need to know that I'm hearing right. I need to know that I'm focused. I need to know that I'm on the right track. So right now, today, I'm going to say to my mind, I'm going to say to my flesh, I'm going to say to my bills, I'm going to say to my circumstances, shut up right now. I need to be attached to the source, and never forget that it is God who gives me the power to get wealth, to get that connection with him and keep it all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I love you, saints, and amen.